In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of you might know that I am a turtle lover. And if you stop by my office, there's lots of testimony for that. It's been a lifelong dream for me then to go to the Galapagos Islands off the coast of Ecuador and see those great giant tortoises. But I doubted whether I would actually ever get to go there. However, in February, while on sabbatical, my husband and I got to go to the Galapagos Islands. And I've been fascinated by the work of Charles Darwin and am a lover of nature and the wonders of creation with all its intricate details and beauty. And in the Galapagos, I felt as if I was a part of creation as we hiked over lava fields, went snorkeling in deep water, and encountered many strange and wonderful creatures. We also learned a lot about Charles Darwin and his life's work, and the difficult job of protecting the islands and the plants and animals there, especially the ones that are found only in the Galapagos. And actually, a really cool thing happened. The head of the Charles Darwin Research Foundation was on our ship, and he was a great resource for what is going on there. Charles Darwin spent just 5 weeks in the Galapagos, but collected many birds and tortoises, studied finches, and many other creatures. And the result of all this was his work, The Origin of Species, which he wrote some 15 or so years before he published it in the middle 1850s. You see, Darwin had doubts about his work and its becoming public, but his friends and supporters encouraged him. And he had doubts because there were gaps and mysteries in his work that he couldn't solve, and he continued to revise his work each time a new edition came out. Others had doubts about his work too. They still do. And there are doubts out there about Darwin's doubts, even now. The church at the time was not happy with his book, but it became a bestseller. Darwin had his doubts, but he continued his research and writing. Even in the midst of it, he had faith that he would discover more evidence, so he kept at it, risking the anger and ridicule of those who opposed him. He wanted more proof in his doubts. Tom and I were able to experience some of the evidence of Darwin's work. And I just can't resist telling you about a couple of things as an aside. Yesterday was Earth Day. And there is no doubt that our earth needs protecting and preserving. And it was a really spiritual experience for me to go to this special place. So the Galapagos Islands remain a living laboratory of creation and ecological change. And many of the plants and animals there are only found there. Evidence of adaptation and the amazing wonders of nature were all around us. So, the prickly pear cactus, usually you see it growing on the ground with its round things with the sticks on them, stickers. And in the Galapagos, a trunk grows, and the prickly pear part is on top of this huge trunk because they needed to store more water. The Galapagos is a dry place, and the tortoises and the iguanas would eat the leaves on the bottom, so they grew taller, and that didn't happen anymore. And then there are the blue-footed boobies. They are birds. And they're a comical, beautiful bird with a long pointed beak and intense eyes, and they have bright blue webbed feet. It's unbelievable. It just sticks right out, this bright, intense blue color. And when it's time for them to find a mate, the male and the female do kind of this little dance on the ground, and they kind of raise up their webbed feet, and they kind of look at each other, and it's really funny to watch them. But the really interesting and cool thing is that it is the intensity and shade of the blue color on their feet that attracts them to each other. And that's due to environmental and genetic factors. So we watched a couple of these birds. One had beautiful blue turquoise feet like the Caribbean Sea, and the other one had a beautiful Carolina blue foot. I didn't notice any Duke blue feet, but with adaptation, anything could be possible. And the beloved, to me, giant tortoises, they can go without food or water for almost a year. And they're so sensitive to humidity changes in the climate that they know just when to migrate to the highlands to restock with food and water. So no doubt about it, what an amazing part of creation we witnessed. So, what does all of this information on Darwin and our trip to the Galapagos have to do with this second Sunday of Easter? Well, each year on this day, we read the story of Thomas, the disciple who doubts that it's really Jesus. He wants proof. And while you may think the doubts of Darwin and the doubts of Thomas are a stretch, just bear with me, because it's very human to have doubts. Someone once said, "I'm all for the benefit of the doubt if there is no doubt." It's very human to want to have proof of things that we don't understand. We want to know reasons and we want to see for ourselves. We want to be able to say it with certainty. We don't live in the gaps and mysteries very well. And I know about this too with my own worrying and doubting tendencies at times. Darwin was no different and Thomas was no different in his day. After Jesus was crucified, the other disciples went and saw the empty tomb. And yes, those disciples also had their doubts. They didn't even believe the women at first. Just seeing an empty tomb, well, someone could have stolen the body of Jesus. Empty doesn't necessarily prove resurrection. So Jesus appears to Mary and the others at various times. And so the other disciples had already seen the risen Jesus. He had come right through locked doors and showed them his hands and his feet and his sides, the wounds he still bore from the cross. But Thomas wasn't with them. So a week later, Jesus again went through locked doors and confronted Thomas. He said, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out in your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." We don't know whether Thomas actually reached out and touched Jesus, but we do know that after that, Thomas made his most famous confession of faith, "My Lord and my God." No doubt about it. And unlike for Darwin with the critics and doubters of his work and time, Jesus doesn't rebuke Thomas for his doubts at all. And Jesus doesn't rebuke us. He says that we who have not seen and yet believe are blessed. Theologian and philosopher the late Paul Tillich once said that doubt is not the opposite of faith, but it is one element of faith. Doubt is not overcome by repression, but by courage. So Thomas and Darwin both had the courage to say, "I want proof. I want to know more for myself. I just want to know more." It takes courage because much of our life and faith can be surrounded by mystery. And we all have our critics, both our inner ones and our outer ones. We certainly don't have all the answers. And the Gospels are not exactly clear. It all began in the dark, and then there was an empty tomb. And it's hard to picture and describe what emptiness is really like. The story has some gaps and shadows in it, but we know that something unimaginable has happened, no doubt about it. And the Gospel writers wanted us to know all about it. Blessed are those who have not yet seen. Are there times when we have shut the doors in our minds and hearts to Jesus? Are there times when we have doubts and let our fear take over? Times when we have to make decisions, confront something startling, or take some risks? Our doubts can be the nagging naysayers, and we lock ourselves in those rooms of self-preservation along with them. But no wonder we have doubts, especially when we do see so much wrong in the world. Where's the proof that it will turn out all right? And what if it doesn't, we might ask. Some of you may know about the Enneagram, a way of looking at 9 different personality types. Dixon has had all of the staff study it for a while now, because this particular tool helps us gain perspective on ourselves and how we relate to others. And it's helpful in understanding our underlying emotions and what motivates us to react the ways we do. But it's about transformation and recognizing new ways of looking at things within ourselves. Well, I'm a type 6 on the 1 through 9s, and it's not a scale of lowest to highest, it's just different types. And the 6 well knows about fear and doubt because it's our underlying motivator. So I relate to Thomas really well. And I get this daily Enneagram thought, and on Friday it said, "Remember, your fixation is worrying. Worrying is a failure of confidence in your ability to know." It turns out that this is not a story about Darwin or doubt or Thomas at all, really. This is a story about Jesus, and he is at the center of every story, whether we doubt it or not. It's a story of hope and transformation and promise in the midst of our fears and doubts. Notice how Jesus seeks Thomas out, just as Jesus seeks us out. Jesus gives us courage and inner peace when the anxiety of doubt tries to take over. Jesus comes right through our locked doors, our closed up hearts, and breathes peace all over us. And if we missed him in the garden or in the dark or in the empty tomb, he meets us wherever we happen to be. Thomas's testimony helps us future believers to come to a recreated faith. When all life seems demolished by death, Jesus comes and stands among us, renewing hope yet again. And Jesus' resurrection appearances continue in us, really, because we are his hands and feet in the world, the risen body of Christ. And we might be flawed, we might have doubts, we might hide in fear like the disciples did, but we, in our own kind of way, help continue the gospel story of resurrection. And while we may think we know the end of it, we don't, because resurrection always happens within and around us. And sometimes we can see this for ourselves, and sometimes we can't. Because we want to know that the crucified Jesus is also really the risen Jesus, just like the disciples and just like Thomas wanted to know. We want to know that God's grace and love have triumphed, even in the face of tragedy. Life goes on because a stone was rolled away for all of us. Life in the Galapagos, whether a cactus, a bluefoot, or a tortoise. Life here in Winston-Salem. Life in places we can't even imagine, all our doubts aside. The gospel tells us that Jesus handles doubt by blessing us. So take heart. Easter continues, and Jesus comes among us with love and peace again and again. Amen.